Friday. We're a little few in number this morning, but I guess that's to be expected on a holiday weekend. We sang together, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one." And we trust this morning that as we're here, that we are trusting that ever-living one, the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him for salvation, trusting Him for our life and our living and how He would have us live and walk. And it's by faith. That's how we receive Him, you know. It's by faith we receive Him, and that's how He wants us to walk. Interesting enough, well, before I say that, it was just a few weeks ago that Dan had asked me to speak, and that was Memorial Day weekend. And we talked about different memories and memorials that we could set up in our lives and in our homes. And this morning, I thought what would be nice and good, and what I feel we'd like to talk about, is some common men who had a very uncommon faith, and they lived that out. Faith in the ever-living one. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. And why don't I read the first verse, and you can read the next one. How's that? "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by what? Faith. Okay. Our thoughts this morning, as we have said, is going to be on our faith and using some of these men as examples. There's been a lot of men and women of faith in the world and since this time, and they've exhibited that faith, and God is pleased with that, I believe. I'd like to read a quote here from A.W. Tozer as he comments on a Christian who lives by faith. "A real Christian is an odd number, anyways. He feels supreme love for one whom he's never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he can't see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be right, declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strongest when he's weakest, richest when he's poorest, and happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passeth knowledge." That was his quote on what a Christian living by faith does and exhibits and shows. In the passage we read here this morning, these first 7 verses, in a pretty condensed way, the Spirit of God, he recounts a lot of biblical history. And through these common men and women who lived out an uncommon faith. And while this here faith that they exhibited, it puzzled and perplexed those around them, yet it pleased the God above them. Those around wondered and were amazed at the faith that these people had and the things that they did. We're going to see that a little bit as we go on. But for God above them, he was very happy and pleased that they would believe him and trust him and follow him in a life of faith. It's kind of like a parent, you know, as they have young children. We, most of us have had young children, at least some of us. And we've been around young children as they begin to learn how to walk, you know. That parent is so anxious to see the child take his first step. And he's down there, you know, and I'm thinking about Sammy. We've just gone through that recently. She's taken, now she's walking all over the place, but anyhow. She take that first step. You know, the parent is down on his knees. Come on, honey, come on, you know, and they're almost ready and whatever. And then finally they take the step, you know. And what a joy it is to the parent as they see that, you know. And how God must be thrilled to see us as we step out like a child in simple faith and make that first step, you know. And you know, that kid isn't looking at the floor, waiting to hit his head or something. The encouragement comes by looking at the parent. And so it is. As we look to God, our encouragement comes from him and in his word to make that first step of faith, whatever it might be. But it's kind of like that, I think. Think about this first verse that we read. It almost sounds as if it might be a definition of faith, but I think rather than so much a definition of faith, it's a description of what faith does for us. It makes things that we hope for just as real as if we already had them. It makes things that we hope for just as real as if we already had them. I think of the verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths." So, we're wondering what the next step should be in our life, perhaps, or where we should be, what we should be saying, doing, or going, or whatever. But the idea is, not so much to worry about that, but rather trust the Lord and believe him in faith, knowing that the end is going to be the best result. And it's going to be what God wants. It's going to be, our faith is going to be rewarded by something that takes place, that God has planned. I think of an example like as we just would trust God in faith and making it the things that we hope for just as real as if we already had them. I think of John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, where it says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We can accept this by faith and believe that it's going to happen and just trust God. And actually, we already have eternal life while we're here. Our bodies will die.
but we have that eternal life as we've trusted Christ as Savior. So, faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's like that little child, like I said. They're not looking to fall on their face or anything like that. They're not just, but they're being encouraged by the parents, and they step out believing that they can make it, you know. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they fall. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we falter. Yeah, the Lord is there to help us and to pick us up. Faith is believing God's word as being true. Often that, though, that our faith is tested by God. If we were to flip over just a, you don't have to, but if you just flipped over to 1 Peter chapter 1, this is what it says about the trial of our faith. It says in verse 7, it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith tried is precious, okay? More so than gold or anything that perishes. As I said, sometimes we falter and fail. But that we should just get up with the Lord's help and go on. And again, step out in faith. I was thinking about George Mueller. And we all know about George Mueller, probably. He had an orphanage. I don't know how many kids he had in the orphanage, but there was quite a few, I'm sure. And George Mueller would come, as I understand, to a table all set with children around and no food on the table and give thanks. Give thanks for the food. And the Lord would provide. You know, it's amazing. You know, do I have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith? To sit down with nothing on the table and say, Lord, thanks for the food, and trust Him to provide for it. Well, I don't know if we've exhibited that kind of faith, but that's the kind of faith he had, and I think God rewarded him for that. And this is what he said about it. He said about faith. He said, trials and difficulties are food for faith to feed on. That was a little quote from George Mueller. Trials or difficulties are food for faith to feed on. Well, if we were to look at verse 2, it says this, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Their faith, according to this verse, these men and women of old, was approved, was approved by God, and He honored them. For we find them in the Scripture, these men mentioned, men and women. And for all of time and eternity, because God's word is not going to pass away, these folks are honored and upheld by God Himself for their great faith that they had. They were pretty much common people, I would say. They had their doubts and fears. They fell, they stumbled, and they got up. But you know what? It was their faith, their uncommon faith, that put them in this book that we read, this passage that we read. It's by faith that we believe in the third verse, it's by faith that we believe in creation. God, the Bible, we trust the Bible, and I trust that you're reading it, but in the Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a statement. And it's by faith that we take that statement, believe it, and apply it, as it were. This past week, or a week ago, I guess it was, I had the opportunity to take Zachary, my grandson Zachary, and Joshua, and we went down to Cincinnati via Toledo. But anyhow, we went to Cincinnati to the Creation Museum. And that is a pretty neat place. If you get Cincinnati way, it'd be well worth your time and effort to visit it. It supports the creation God's creation, his statement of fact, and it has a lot of interesting things there that you would find helpful. And it was really neat. At the end of it, there was probably a 17-minute little video thing where you sat in, kind of a theater thing. And the gospel was presented in a very, very clear and concise way. And I don't know, has anybody ever been there? Okay, Dave and Ruth, yeah. And an invitation even given afterwards if someone wanted to trust Christ, you know. So it's a good thing, and it's done in a very good way. It would be well worth your time. And for you, you folks that have young children, it would be worth your time to plan a trip there. Because in their, also in their, you might call it bookstore, they have a lot of resources and a lot of things that for all ages, that support in the creation. And so anyhow, that's just a little sideline. But yeah, it's a first-class presentation of God's creative works. And so we believe God's word where he said, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. And it's by faith that we do that. And that pleases God when we do that. And don't question what he has to say. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that in children, that it's a lot easier for a child to have faith, and a lot more difficult for adults. I'm going to read you a couple of verses in Matthew 21, and this is the Lord Jesus. He's in the temple. He's overthrown the money changers. And he says, it's written, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it den of thieves. 14th verse. And the blind and the lame came unto him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, listen to this, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They, the scribes, the chief priests and the scribes, were sore displeased. They didn't want to believe it. They didn't want to hear it. They were more interested in their own personal whatever, gain or loss. But the children, they believed it. And they acted upon it. And they praised God, saying, Hosanna to God in the highest. It's a lot more difficult for an adult to have that faith that children have. That's why it's so important that we, as parents, grandparents, with the younger children, that we teach them the ways of God. Read them the scriptures. Have times with them, devotional times. Times when they can learn and their faith can be established in God and in his word. The simplicity of childlike faith is what the Lord's looking for. And if we were to read this verse 6, it says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The steps to pleasing God are pretty simple. Just like the steps of a toddler, okay? First of all, we come to God. Secondly, we believe that he's there. The child recognizes that the parent is there, waiting for them, reaching out to them. And thirdly, we count on him to keep his word, and he rewards us for that. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In our next verses, we're going to consider three different types of people. One's a shepherd, one's a preacher, and the other's a builder. Verse 4 says, By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel, a common man, what I would believe the scripture implies, the second born. I don't know if that's for sure, but I believe that's so. A man. But in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2, it tells us that he kept sheep. That was his job. But his brother Cain was a tiller of the soil. And the scripture would, as I said, imply that, the scripture would imply that there was either by direct revelation or teaching or some way that to come to God with a sacrifice, it was going to have to be a blood sacrifice. That was God's way. Maybe they learned it a little bit because what happened to the parents when they were separated from God because of sin? There had to be a blood sacrifice that they might be able to be clothed. Perhaps that way they learned from it, learned of it. Or maybe God directly spoke to them and taught them that the way to come to him is through the blood. And so, but Abel, he exhibited faith by coming to God with a blood sacrifice, where Cain's sacrifice was one of the ground, the fruit, or the vegetables. Abel illustrates the truth of salvation. It's by grace through faith. Cain pictures man's futile attempts to save himself by good works, or doing it the way he thinks it is. Coming to God by faith. Our verse that I like to quote, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, 10, and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I think it says, and he, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in the 13th verse. I don't know if I quoted that quite right, but it's on that effect, on that order, and it's found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. Coming to God for salvation, recognizing his grace, and believing on him in faith. Cain's pictures, like Abel, God doesn't look at our personal good intentions. For making us righteous, but rather on the he looks at the sacrifice of his son and our faith in that sacrifice. Thinking about Abel and what a sad commentary on the human race. Thinking about Cain now, Abel was killed by his brother, the first man that was born, and he was a murderer. Doesn't say a whole lot about us as mankind, does it? Sad commentary. And he was killed because of his brother's self-righteousness. He hates the truth, and that is the truth that he can't save himself, but needs to be cast on the mercy of God. And so Cain there, angry because his sacrifice, what he thought was good, was not accepted, stands there, as it were, almost with his fist shaking in God's face and said, this is what I'm going to do, and you're going to like it. But, you know, man is man, and God is God. And even though Cain's sacrifice was sincere, I'm sure, but sincerity isn't a substitute for obedience. And the Word of God says that we come to him by faith, no works of our own, but only on his merit for salvation. Not through any works of our hands or thoughts or deeds that we can produce. Verse 5 says this, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so we have our second person this morning. His name was Enoch, a preacher. The life of Enoch is in the scripture is a little sketchy. There's a little bit in Genesis. There's some in Jude in this verse here. And in Jude, it sort of tells us of how he stood out in a perverse generation. And it was just in this generation that men and women became so evil that God was willing to destroy the world, except for our next builder that we're going to talk about and his family. So publicly, Enoch, he preached by faith a message to his wicked generation, and they hated it. Privately, Enoch, according to the scripture, he raised children and he walked with God. What cultivated Enoch's faith? I don't know. I suppose learning about God and walking with him and talking with him. And his faith, which kept him in step with God and out of step with his very wicked generation that he was living in, this pleased God. And that faith that Enoch had put him in our text this morning, and it also translated him. It also took him right to heaven without experiencing death. Enoch's faith. It was 300 years that Enoch walked with an invisible God. It's a long time. But yet it says that he walked with God, and he was not because God took him. My last person this morning is a builder named Noah. Read that in verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and he became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And if we were thinking of those that are out of step with their generation, here's Noah was definitely not walking with them. But he was walking to a much different beat, a much different drummer. Noah is described in Genesis as a righteous man. He's blameless in his generation, one who walked with God and who found favor in his eyes. You read that in Genesis chapter 6. His contemporaries, however, they were very wicked. And every intent of their thoughts and hearts continually focused on evil, we're told in the verse 5 of that same chapter. Just like to think, as we think of Noah, we think how in the eyes of those around him, he must have seemed very like crazy man, okay? His building project that he was doing was just out of this world. I mean, as far as we understand, that hadn't even rained on the earth. The earth was watered by dew. Didn't live close to any body of water. And yet, he was building this ark, which was way too big for his own family even, you know. This ark apparently was about twice the length of a football field. That's pretty long. And about as wide. And I was thinking about that a little bit. And, you know, I mean, today we have steel to make it out of and things like that, you know. But here's a huge vessel that is made out of, I would say, wood, pegs, ribs of wood, all kind of put together, and then some pitch over it, you know. And, I mean, it must have been a pretty neat design God had, because in order for that not to break up once it was in water with all the weight that it carried and everything else and just the length and size of it, it's a pretty big feat of construction and building. This thing was 4 stories high. If a story was 10 feet, that's 40 feet. That's high. That's big. And to top it all off, for those around him, it took over 100 years to build. I don't know. I got 3 sons. If I started a project and worked on it for 10 years, I don't know if I'd have the cooperation that his sons had. I mean, you know, his son worked with him for 100 years. When all around him, all the distractions, all the people mocking and everything else, and yet the son. So, I mean, I think there's something to say about his sons. Over 100 years to build. Yet, in spite of all the ridicule and work, Noah obeyed the instructions of God. And as Noah acted in faith, believing God's word, Noah was greatly rewarded. For his whole household was saved, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We got Abel, Enoch, and Noah. All kind of common men in a sense, and yet each of them with an uncommon faith. Abel came to God's way. Enoch proclaimed God's word, and Noah fulfilled God's will. So, this morning, whether we're making an offering to God in some sense of a way, an offering to God, speaking out on his behalf, or just obeying his word, God's looking for one thing from us, and that is faith. A faith that's willing to step out, no matter how weak our steps are, like a child. And I would say, may God help us to this end, to have that kind of faith, childlike faith, that perhaps the Lord has spoke to you about something that he wants you to do, or even to myself. I'd say this to myself. And he's looking for faith in us to step out and to actually do it. When David was encouraging Solomon to build the temple, he says, just do it. You know? Do it, Solomon. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. But do it. And this morning, let's do what God wants us to do in faith, believing in him. Let's just pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. Thankful that as we read it and learn from it, our faith grows. And we pray that you would help us to have faith in you and to make that step, that first step. So the next ones are easier. And just trust you and go on for you day by day. Bless this group of people that are here. Watch over us as we go our several ways. Keep us safe, we pray, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.